This is a WKXL Spotlight. And I think it's going to be a very fun one at that. Informative, fun, make you think a little bit. What do you think our discussion will be about today? I will tell you, religion, and not just religion in general. We're going to discuss the Christian Science Church, and I have two folks that will help me to do that today. In studio, we have with me Scott McDonald, who is a, do we call it parishioner of the Concord branch of the Christian Science Church?
A member.
A member.
Member of the church and attendee, obviously.
There we go. Okay. So I just want to frame things the right way. And we also have Leslie Pitts, who we can tell a lot of information about because she's going to be really a featured speaker for the Christian Science Church coming up here in an event on May 16th. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be with you.
Yes, well, and I am very curious to hear which one of you wants to talk first. I'm going to look at Scott's reaction in studio. I see he has a healthy smile. Leslie, I hear your laughter over the phone. So we're starting with you because
you
should be an expert at public speaking and radio type stuff. Want to talk with us, please, a little bit about Christian Science Church and introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Sure. I'd love to do that. It's easy to talk about things you love, isn't it?
Yes.
And I grew up in the United Kingdom. You can probably hear that in my voice. And both my parents were members of the Christian Science Church there in a small town. And my growing up years were just wonderful years of, I felt like they gave me such freedom of thought. It allowed me to feel that I could do anything that I wanted to do in life. I could achieve anything I wanted to achieve. And I had that sense of freedom and expression that I can't even tell you. When I look back at it now, it was just an amazing childhood. I also felt that sense of safety and protection. My growing up years, I went to Sunday school because obviously you do what your parents kind of tell you to do in the beginning. And my time there was really wonderful in gaining a sense of God's presence in my life. I just felt safe and protected. I felt a sense of love that was always embracing me, that was a greater sense of love than even my parents' love, which was superb. But, you know, it was that sense of divine love that is never goes away.
Leslie, you felt this as a child? I mean, you're talking 8, 9, 10, 11 years old?
About that age, 8, 9, 10, 11. I really felt that companionship of something that was beyond myself. And it stayed with me. And I saw, the effects of this, turning to God for health care, turning to God in lots of different ways in our growing up years. And that, when I got to my later teens, you know, I was always questioning it. My parents really said, you know, ask as many questions as you like. You know, they weren't forcing us in any way to think like they did. And, you know, I had my questions in my teens. But by the time I got to my leaving high school, I was at a point where I just knew that presence of God was something real to me. And I knew that I couldn't really walk away from it. Even if I wanted to, it would still be there.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you walk away from it right here during this radio interview either. I will say, I have a million questions I want to ask you. Scott McDonald, you're in studio with me here. You're hearing Leslie and what her upbringing sound to be like, to me, to be a great way to grow up as a child. It sounds like both parents, you're going to church on Sunday. And so, I mean, you're having faith in something larger than yourself and being taught things at a young age. How did you grow up? And what was your introduction to the Christian Science Church?
I would say it's fairly parallel. Essentially, my mom came into Christian Science as a result of her sister being healed in Christian Science when she was a young girl. As a result of that healing, My mom and her sister and their parents started attending Christian Science services at the local Christian Science church. So my upbringing was fairly similar to Leslie's in the sense that I grew up in a family attending church. And it wasn't until I went away to college that came the point where I really had to make it my own. And that's when in Christian Science, to me, making it one's own means studying the Bible, gaining a spiritual sense of God, of life and being, and studying the Bible along with the Christian Science textbook by Mary Baker Eddy, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And doing that in earnest, really, it's really a heartfelt desire. That's what it was for me. And that's what enabled me to progress.
So, yeah, that's next level. When you talk about religion, because most people are not there, I will just, so everybody knows, I was born into a Catholic family, and I attended church every Sunday, Catholic Mass, every Sunday up until I graduated high school. And when I went to college, Scott, I kind of stopped going to Mass. I still will occasionally go. I'm kind of open-ended on what religion I'm part of, actually. I still go to Catholic Church. The more I hear about Christian Science, though, I do become more interested in really what's at the fabric. I hear both of you talking about healing. And Leslie, that's a part of your speaking engagements, isn't it? I don't know. Is that at the really like the foundation of the Christian Science Church, the healing piece of this?
Well, yes, it is. Jim, definitely, because what we're doing is really learning to rely on that divine presence for everything in our life, you know, turning to it rather than relying on people or institutions to kind of help us through life. We're turning to that divine sense first and foremost and really following Jesus' teachings, you know, in our daily life. It's not a Sunday thing. It's not a once-a-week thing. It's something that you're incorporating into your thinking moment by moment. So if you find yourself in a difficult situation, whether it's health or whether it's something like you've lost your job and you're needing a new one, or, you know, you're having difficult relationships, whatever the problem is, we try to turn to that divine sense first. And, you know, we know that the ideas will flow to us as to how, you know, that healing will occur, whatever kind of situation we're in. It's prayer, but it's a deep sense of listening to the divine.
Scott, is that what you learned when you said you went to college and then you started to really like dig in and learn more and study more about this particular religion? Is that where things went next level for you, the learning to be able to turn to God to help you with like really issues in any part of anyone's life, it sounds like?
I would say the studying was the beginning. It really was the discipline of saying, I really want to improve as an individual mentally, spiritually, and there's nothing like reading and studying the Bible and Mrs. Eddy's textbook, the textbook of Christian Science, to really give us that sense of, as Leslie said, letting God guide us, letting God care for us. Initially, I would say that there weren't any particular healings when I was sort of finding this on my own, but I did feel an uplift in terms of a sense of character, integrity, and really a sense of how I wanted to develop as an individual. I will say that at one point earlier on in my experience, when I was a youngster, I hung around with a bunch of guys that we were all boys growing up, right? And language got out of hand, and so did mine. And I was a pretty over the top with the language.
What, swearing like the F word and stuff like
that? Yeah.
I mean, if that's the worst thing you're ever doing, most people are going to consider you like saintly.
But I will tell you, At one point, when I made Christian Science my own through my own study, the tendency to do that literally disappeared, and it has been that way ever since.
I'm going to put the two of you to the test. We're going to transition to a commercial right now. Leslie, yeah, I can hear you. You're excited for this test I'm going to give you on the air here. When we return from this commercial break, Scott McDonald's in studio, Leslie Pitts on the line with us talking about Christian Science and an upcoming event that Leslie will be hosting and be the main speaker of. And I'm going to tell you, Leslie, you've already got my interest. I'm signing up, and I'm going to listen to this, no doubt about it. This is a WKXL Spotlight. And we will be right back. You're listening to WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire. NHTalkRadio.com is where you go online. Welcome back to this WKXL Spotlight. The Christian Science Church. This is something I wonder, people listening, how familiar are you with it? I said, I'm honestly not that familiar. We're about to get more familiar because I'm going to ask Scott and I'm going to ask Leslie Pitts, who's on the line. Leslie, we'll start with you, please. As part of your dedication to the Christian Science Church, have you witnessed any, let's say, miracles or something to that effect that have allowed you to really embrace the religion further and maybe even helped you to reach other people through like kind of retelling of those stories?
Well, yes. I wouldn't call them miracles, Scott. I would call them natural because they're natural things that happen. Because if you think about the words Christian Science, Christian, you know, we know that's about the healing and teaching and the ministry, the living of Jesus' words and life. And we saw Jesus heal people during his ministry. And he said at that time, anyone that believed on him, you can read this in the Bible, will do the works that I do and greater works than these. He was showing us there was a different way to live our lives, that sin, disease, sickness, even death was part of something that we need to see as something that we needed to move beyond. Because when we understand ourselves as the image and likeness of God, which it tells us in the first chapter of Genesis in the Bible, that's how we were created, the image and likeness of God, then we have to be spiritual. We have to be more than just a body walking around. Like if you saw me, you know, you could identify me by the way I look and the color of my eyes and my hair. But what we're talking about here is something much more than what the physical senses can see, something that's beyond us, that's a spiritual substance that makes us who we are. And Scott talked a little bit about, you know, studying this nature of God, learning this science, Christian science, the rules that make up the methodology of healing that Mary Baker Eddy discovered in the 19th century, she's bringing out that this can be proved in anyone's life. This is not just for a certain people. This is for anyone to prove in their life. And Scott talked about how he was using that to develop his character. And I've certainly seen physical healings that I can tell you about those kind of show you the proof that this is something that works.
Yeah, that's where I was looking to go with it. It's so great how you just took it full circle right there, Leslie, because people listening who are doubting religion in general, you mentioned like everybody should have a spiritual relationship at some level. It, to me, I've been bewildered for my entire life to be like, how do people not get that? Like, you think we just came here out of total coincidence as humans, and we're at this point having this conversation with this level of thought amongst the world that's like, you know, in fighting, there's chaos, there's good things, so just complex. You think that just is random occurrence? No, of course there's something that created all of us. The world is way too perfect. It's too symmetrical. Everything like has a weight and a counterbalance. Like there has to be some sort of a plan, or else, like, how do you think this just happened? I don't understand how people don't get that. But it's way easier to reach people on the radio if they're like, oh yeah, I heard this woman tell me about this miracle that happened, versus, well, I had to go to college like Scott, really study into the Christian Science. So, Scott, what do you think about like the role of the Christian Science Church and trying to reach more people nowadays? This is a tough question for you, because it's so tough to get people to believe in anything.
It is. I think that in today's environment, we see a shift generally in thought towards maybe more materialism than the spiritualization of thought. And Mary Baker Eddy, who discovered and founded Christian Science, had a real keen spiritual sense of what truth was. And she really studied the Bible, as Leslie was saying, chapter one, God is spirit, not matter. God is good, not evil. God is all, ever present. And she really relied on these truths as principles, if you will. So today, for those who seem to be more attracted to materialism, the spiritualization of thought is the direction of true reality. It really is. And to the extent that it can be proven and demonstrated in one's experience, doesn't that really illustrate it in a way that nobody can tell you about? You've experienced it.
I've got a story for you that I will save and jump in with later. I'll tell you right now, Scott, your words, you may take a little thought or time. You mentioned, Joe, you said, I'm the type of person, Jim, that likes to think a little bit before I start talking. Your words, I feel your words and the thoughts coming. You flow very freely, and I like the sound of it. Leslie, can you explain a little bit more the history of the Christian Science Church and Mary Baker Eddy? Because she was actually born in Bow, New Hampshire. I went on Wikipedia to prepare for this a little bit. 1821, I believe, is when. So we're now learning about these, I mean, whether it's facts, beliefs, whatever you want to say, the foundation of your two religious lives is from somebody that was born in 1821, and those stories have still lived on to this point, reaching you so thoughtfully and so fully.
Yep, she was born in Bow, New Hampshire, in a farming community with five siblings and a big extended family, busy farm. And she wasn't a well child. And as you can imagine, at that time in our history, sometimes children didn't survive beyond their childhood. And I think that was a real concern to her parents. She tried to be as active as possible, go to school with her siblings. She loved to read and to learn things. And, you know, this illness it held her back. She wanted to move a sense of physical freedom. And, of course, you know the role of women at that time. They didn't choose their paths in life. I think she was chafing against the restrictions of her time to some extent, in wanting to move forward on her own, find her own path in life. So that was all very much tied up at this point. And of course, in New England at that time, people read the Bible every day. That was what they did. They came together, they read some passages. Perhaps the patriarch of the family preached on it. They went to church. So the Bible was central to their growing up years. But she really had a different sense of what God was to what her father was preaching. So there were some arguments in the family and in church. And that's really where she began to really dig into a different sense to her of what the Bible was telling her that God was.
Imagine the argument she'd have with people today when the Bible is essentially the smartphone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible. Yeah. But yeah, this is really a cool story for me, both from you, Scott, and with Mary Baker Eddy, because it sounds like something is like gripping each of you early in your life. And I don't mean it in a negative way. I mean it in a positive and kind of directing you to almost stay above the fray, whereas so many of us, myself included, I get caught up in the fray way too much nowadays, Leslie. So I'm going to be looking for some of your advice by the end of this show. If there was one thing about the Christian Science Church in a somewhat short answer that you would like people to know and or remember after listening to this discussion, what would it be?
Well, that's what my lecture is going to be on, Jim. It's going to be on trust. And I think the Bible leans that way. It tells us that we need to trust God more. And I think when we do that, our lives change for the better.
The title of your lecture will be Finding Trust in a Changing World. You can find information on it on our Facebook page here, WKXL Radio. There'll be advertisements on the shows. May 16th, 7 p.m. is the date and time. I will tell you, very unprofessional of me, what's the location? Scott, do you know the location?
Actually, I don't. I know that it's at the library in Bow. I don't know the name of the library, though. It's the Baker Library.
Yes, it's the Baker Free Library. Yeah, it was founded by Mary Baker Eddy's cousin.
Let's dive in more to that when we return from commercial. Thank you two both for bailing me out. I love it when I have informed guests. WKXL Radio, this is a WKXL Spotlight, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, where you can hear us on the radio. WKXL Spotlight on WKXL Radio. I'm having a good time. Hopefully you are too. Learning something, and I know I'm going to learn a lot more because I'm about to ask some real tough questions after we get the informative stuff, you know, the base stuff. I want to get you the introduction to the folks. Leslie Pitts is on the phone. Scott McDonald is here. For those of you that don't know, the Christian Science Church, there's a huge church here in downtown Concord, New Hampshire. This is where Scott is a member of the local church, and I'd love for him to talk to us a little bit more just about that particular location and what's available for resources at the local branch of the Christian Science Church. Is that cool?
Sure, that's fine. The church is located at 33 School Street, downtown Concord. The church was established in 1904, and so it's, 120 years old at this point? Essentially, the church is for the community. It is not an exclusive church. It is a very public church. Anyone can attend a church service on a Sunday morning. Currently, our services are at 10:30. We also have a Sunday school, which is in a separate building behind the church, still on the same lot, for young people up to the age of 20. The entire purpose of the Sunday service is to work with individuals and basically have our pastor, which is the Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, two books, is our pastor. We have that read to the congregation in the church, and in the Sunday school, we have teachers who teach the youngsters from those two books. Now, I see you with a little furrowed brow over there, Jim. You're going, a pastor is two books?
Is there a person?
There are two readers who are elected by the congregation. We are very much a democratic church. All the offices are held by members of the church. And so we elect readers, one to read from the Bible, the other to read from Science and Health.
Same reader each week? Same readers? Or is we have an election every single week because people all want their turn?
Nope. These are the same readers every single week.
Okay.
What they are reading from is a lesson sermon that's been prepared by the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston. And in fact, every Christian Science congregation around the world, regardless of language, country, anything that would seem to differentiate, is reading that same service in every church around the world on Sunday.
Okay. And so, Leslie, where is your branch out of? Where are you located?
Yeah, I'm in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and that's where I go to church on a Sunday, if I'm here, but currently I'm lecturing most Sundays. So.
Have you been elected the reader of your group?
I have done it. I have been a reader for one time, because one of the amazing things is you can be elected a reader for up to about 3 years, is the usual time, but then somebody else is elected after that. You might be cleaning the toilets the next week.
All jobs are equal.
Yes, all jobs are equal. Men, women are equal. There's just a wonderful sense of equality and fellowship, working together, because we're all studying. We're all growing as individuals, and that's how we run our church.
Here in Concord, I don't know if you have something like this in Plymouth where you're at, but in Concord, there's also a reading room, which actually how I got in touch with the Christian Science Church initially here just a few months ago. Walking down Main Street in Concord, there's just a random business set up there on the street, and they're welcoming people to come in and talk, I mean, about religion, politics, or maybe anything. I don't know, Scott. Have you been in the reading room on Main Street in Concord?
In a couple of hours, I'll be serving there, Jim.
You will? So serving
I'll be the attendant at the reading room.
And who do you find coming in to talk with you on a day-to-day basis?
The purpose of the reading room is to serve the public. Anyone from the public can stop into the reading room. Its original purpose was to have people come in and read the Bible and the Christian Science textbook, literally a room where you would go to read if you didn't own the books, okay? So we still maintain that posture. Anyone can come into the reading room. They can read for 5 minutes. They can read for 10 minutes. They can speak with the attendant. The point of the reading room is to have Christian Science meet the individual where they are in thought. That's the point of it.
Just to have this meeting place like almost a magnet. I mean, I was there in the middle of winter and the door was open.
Yep.
So that tells you something. It's like welcoming. Hey, come on in. I mean, are you intentionally trying to link up with lost souls or people that are searching for something?
It's whoever is led to come. It's open to the public. Whoever is receiving that idea, I think I'll stop in and read at the reading room, or I'll stop by in the window and read something that's in the window of the reading room, a Bible citation. Whatever moves them to stop and come into the reading room is what the purpose is. However, I will make one statement. We don't usually talk politics in the reading room.
That was a misspoken word by me. I don't know why politics was on the mind. Yeah, I would say God would want us to probably keep politics out of the religion piece nowadays. Leslie, what about in your – do you have a reading room where you're
at? Yeah, we do.
Do we talk politics there?
Yeah, no, we don't. And we don't debate things. We are just listening to those that come in and really, as Scott says, reaching them where they are. And helping them wherever we can. Where we are in Plymouth, we have a number of homeless people that drop by nearly every day. They want to come in and talk to us about how they're feeling that day, and we give them an idea, a thought to go with them. Sometimes they sit and read. Sometimes they'll use our laptops. We have some laptops. They're allowed to do certain things with them, and they're not allowed to do other kinds of things with them. But we have some rules. But they look up their email. They sometimes apply for jobs or housing. We help them if they're not computer savvy. They come to trust us a little more because people are wary you know, when they had problems in their lives and they're not sure who to trust, when they come in, we don't push them too much. We don't ask too many questions, but we just help them as far as we can until they feel ready to talk to us. And then we'll share some things that we feel that will help them. And we've seen some real progress stories through our reading room. I had a probation officer that came in one day, and he said, I want you to know that this is a place that people feel safe. They like to come in here and talk to you. And I thought that was a real compliment.
Yeah, it's just nice to hear that affirmation, yeah. What you're trying to do. I know you two are, I mean, whether it's dedicating your lives to the Lord or whatnot, it still feels nice to get the human being saying, hey, thank you for what you're doing here, and it's maybe reaching some people. Finding trust in a changing world, Leslie, that's an interesting discussion point because it's so tough to trust anybody nowadays.
That's why we're going to talk about it. We need to get together and discuss this because I think for most people today, they're feeling that their level of trust is eroded, whether it's between individuals or relying on an institution that they've helped before, or that they've seen things happen and they've lost their trust in it. So we're going to look at some Bible promises that have been around for millennia. We're going to say, this is what you can trust. This is rock-like. This is solid. This is reliable. This is something that's there 24/7. Whenever you need it, you can turn to it.
That's what the lecture will be about largely, is you reading passages or referencing at least some passages from the Bible and then giving your interpretations on that or what?
Well, not really, but our experience, our life experience. I'm going to share some of my family's experiences with people of why we feel that we can trust in this divine presence, in this love. Because we've seen it work in our lives. We've seen things change from one thing to another. You know, as Scott said, he had an early family experience that brought his family into Christian Science. My grandmother was dying of spinal meningitis at the age of 19 when she had two small children. So she had, you know, there had to be a quick something to help her at that moment, and the doctor had given up her case.
So
Christian Science healed her.
I want to pick things up right there, Leslie, because that sounds like the miracle type of discussion. You might not say it's a miracle, but I'm going to say you're about to hear about a miracle. Listening audience, this is the WKXL Spotlight. Stay tuned right there. You're going to hear more about Christian Science Church with Leslie Pitts and Scott McDonald. WKXL Radio, that's where you're at, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire, Talk Radio. Couldn't get back from commercial fast enough to hear to return to this WKXL Spotlight. Christian Science Church. Leslie Pitts is just, for my money, going to talk to us about, I mean, something approaching a miracle at the very least. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I was hearing, Leslie. Would you please tell us a little bit more about the story you just started there before the break?
Yeah, sure. Well, this doctor had diagnosed my grandmother with spinal meningitis. And he had tried everything he knew how to improve her life, you know, to get her cured. But there was nothing he could do. He said that she was going to die within a couple of days. Her mother was called because obviously she was a young woman with two children. So she had to have someone take care of her and the children. And my great-grandmother obviously was reaching out. She didn't want her to die. And she had been given a copy of Science and Health by a friend who had told her about how healing could happen today because it was a natural expression of God's goodness, that if we understood that, if we had that kind of faith that Jesus talked about, we could see healing in our bodies as well as our minds. And so they reached out to a Christian Science practitioner who is somebody that gives their time to take calls from the public. And a Christian Science practitioner will be praying for that individual, going to God, thinking about how they can help in that individual's case. And in my grandmother's case, she asked her to read the 91st Psalm with an open mind, to just let go of all her fear, to let go of anything she thought about this psalm before. She had read it before, yes. But she said, read it again. Read it to yourself with an open mind, with a listening thought. And that's exactly what my grandmother did. And if you know that psalm, which is pretty popular, you know, a lot of people know that psalm today and rely on it for a sense of comfort and love. It talks about God dwelling in the secret place. We can dwell in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And that God takes care of us. He's our refuge and our fortress, and we can trust him. And that's what she did. She read the whole psalm, all 16 verses of it. And by the time she finished, she called to her mother, who was in another room. And her mother came running in because she knew something had happened, because she had not spoken beyond a whisper for over a week. And she saw her getting up out of bed. She saw her well. It was as quick as that. And my grandmother got up. And that was kind of a turning point. And, you know, we see the physical healing, yes, as important, but it's really the change in our thinking that happens at that point that is very important. It's a change of base from matter, the matter body, to that spiritual sense of who we are. I think my grandmother learned to not listen to what society and her family were telling her what her role in life was. She knew from that moment on she could turn to God for everything she needed, and she did. That's how she brought up my father, who was one of those little boys, and how it came into my life and how I've continued to shape my own, you know, go forward in my own life.
Was your grandmother a spiritual woman before this happened?
I think she read the Bible, but just, I don't think she went to church, no. Okay. I don't think that was regular in her life,
okay.
No.
So she was 19 years old,
yeah.
Had two kids, horrible physical ailment. Scott, what would I tell you, you're in studio with me, if I listen to that story and I say to myself, well, Leslie has no reason to lie or to try and make up stories that, you know, just sound good for entertainment purpose. But what if I told you, Scott, that most people listen on the radio, if you played it for 300 million Americans right now, they're just going to totally discount what Leslie just said, and it's not going to make any impact in their life whatsoever. What would I tell you? What would you say to me if I told you that?
Essentially what I would say is, even today, I think that these kind of examples are considered just anecdotal, just stories. However, when Mary Baker Eddy discovered the principle behind the laws of God and Christ Jesus' teaching and his healing method, his metaphysical healing method, she then went out to prove that. And she herself has many, many hundreds of examples that are published, documented, of healings such as this. And these healings have come down through the years. People have written about them in the Christian Science periodicals, the Christian Science Journal and the Christian Science Sentinel, for the last 120 years that illustrate documented cases of healing all walks of experiences.
So, Leslie, when I asked you a couple of segments ago, have you witnessed any miracles in your life that you'd want to tell. Why didn't you immediately respond with that story? You more responded like, well, not really miracles. You don't feel like what happened to your grandmother was a miracle?
No, I think it was understanding this law of God, the how Jesus healed.
So
this
anyone could do it. Anyone could
anyone
do it under that,
do it.
That thinking.
Yes. That's what Mary Baker Eddy discovered. That's what she wrote about in this book. And she went on to teach other people how to heal, and they were able to heal. And that's continued down the decades since then. And as Scott said, every week you can read in the Christian Science Sentinel healings that people have had today. And they're just natural expressions. They tell you what change happened in their thinking. They explain that in their testimonies. But they are testimonies of healing every week, every month that happen. I can tell you a recent one from myself.
Yeah.
I was giving one of these talks that I'm going to give in Concord, in Bow, rather, but in the Concord area, in another church. And I woke up in the hotel in the morning. I was going to give the talk at 11 a.m. My nose was running. Like, I don't know. I couldn't stop. I just was using tissue after tissue after tissue. And I could not stop my nose running. And I thought, how am I going to give this talk? I was nasally. You know, you couldn't understand me. It was awful. But I immediately began praying. I knew that I was doing what I was meant to be doing. And if I'm in my right place, if I'm doing, listening, expressing love, expressing honesty, expressing intelligence, then I can't be touched by something in the body. The body has to respond to my thinking. And I got to the place I was going to give the lecture, and even up to 10 minutes before 11, it was still running. And then it stopped. And I walked on. You wouldn't have known that anything had happened. I didn't sound nasally. Nothing happened. These are things that happen every day in our lives. You know,
everyone has it. They just don't stop to pay it any further level of attention. Scott kind of mentioned it there too. It's happening. Everything in the world is so chaotic right now that this one crazy ironic thing that happens, and it's like, oh, everything happens for a reason. It's all just to discount what I view as miracles and stuff. That's just like, there's no way these coincidences happen. Do you want to hear my personal story and give
sure.
me your thoughts? Okay, so I have had a vicious gambling problem since I was about 12 years old. I tell this, and I tell it freely, because it's part of me, and it's fine. I've lost over $500,000 during my lifetime. I pay my bills. I'm doing well. I've got kids. But earlier in my life, I went out of control many a time, and it still stays with me. The other week, I was gambling a ton on college basketball, absolute ton. It was taking time away from my family. I knew it wasn't good for me, but I just love to watch the sports and I love to bet on it, Leslie. So at the end of a long weekend, I go, well, I'm going to make one more bet. And I go in, I make this one more bet, and I look down at my balance in the account that I have on DraftKings, and my total balance was $666 that I had left. That's 666, sign of the devil. We're wrapping this up real quick, but in 30 seconds, that's God trying to talk to me.
Yeah, well, it comes in the way we can understand it, Jim. That's what happens, and that's how you understood it.
You got it. You nailed it. Tell us, again, your lecture is May 16th, 7 p.m. Yep. Where's the location?
Baker Free Library in Bow, New Hampshire. And if you can't make that one, come to Portland, Maine, at the church, 61 Neal Street, at 3 p.m. And if you can't come to that one, come on the 19th to Laconia, Sunday, the 19th of May, at 2 p.m. at their church at 136 Pleasant Street, Laconia.
We're there for you. Leslie, there are many avenues where you are trying to reach people. The door is always open. I want to say thank you very much for coming on the show today. Scott McDonald, one word. Was this fun?
Absolutely.
I'd like to have you back someday. You do a great job on the radio. You both do. Thank you. This has been a WKXL Spotlight on the Christian Science Church 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire, 1450 AM. That's where you find us. Have a great day out there, everybody.